Hello and welcome to episode 37 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today, for another adventure in Paris, I have...
Ben Meredith.
Lydia Nicholas.
Britt Munro.
Ben Ross.
And who are you playing?
Zulf Smith.
Sasha Rackett.
Hamid Salah, Haroon Al-Tahan.
Sir Bertrand McGovingham, who for the next 3 to 4 episodes will be suffering from a curse of mild head cold.
But we power through. Never mind asbestos curses from podcasts.
I nearly introduced myself as Hamid when you said, when I have joining me. It was only these two saying their actual names. I was like, oh God, what's my actual name? And becoming my character.
Jack Chick was right.
Yeah. Look at it this way. We've now spent 37 hours, give or take, in a very small room in close proximity. That can do strange things.
And we've done it all in one marathon recording session.
Oh, it's been crazy. It's been crazy.
Just throughout these references to Easter, Christmas,
oh my God.
Passing events.
It Runners took a just, lot of planning.
It did.
Runners just come up and bring us food and take away our bodily waste.
I kind of regret repeating
the same bucket. I wish they'd used a different bucket. Can we have more than one runner, please, Alex?
Or at least more than one bucket.
I kind of regret repeatedly referencing all those celebrity deaths that we're now going to have to go and actually execute ourselves over the next few months to make sure that the news cycle follows our references.
Mm. I don't remember what the sun looks like.
You don't need sun, you need only games. Also, because of the way we record, this is the first recording that we're doing, which will be out after Magnus has launched, but it hasn't launched for us, so we're speaking to the future.
Ooh,
hello. Hello, future people. I hope that the world's still here. If it's not, I'm going to feel really silly. So, the Magnus Archives is up now. It's available on iTunes and all good podcasters, and we're releasing an enormous amount of extra episodes at launch. A, as a thank you for bearing with us, and B, because we can. And that's cool.
You need to know how many times Alex had to re-record that because he kept his voice shifting into a kind of unearthly moan.
So I'm fairly certain that the Magnus Archives is the reason that everything went literally to hell at Rusty Towers. So God knows what it's doing out there in the world now that it's available. But give it a listen. Who knows? It might be the worst thing that ever happened to your town, but it might also be really fun and interesting to listen to.
Maybe both.
Who knows? Yeah. Now, back on to what we actually do. So, picking up from where we left off. Ooh, a lot's happened. Obviously, Vyra flooded Dover, Zulf's brief career as a prisoner.
I was having a really rubbish time, generally.
Yes, you were. And it got worse because then three of you, you know, the three that, you know, care, went across the channel on a boat, whilst Bertie had a lovely train ride with no complications whatsoever.
I don't remember any complications at all. It was fine, stop asking.
Long story short, via a brief stint in Calais where Bertie very nearly but didn't kill anyone because Hamid was there to smooth things over. Eventually, you all made it to Paris, and in Paris discovered La Triomphe, a hotel, a presidential suite, the most expensive suite potentially in the world, held in perpetuity in Sasha's name specifically, with surname Sasha Rackett, with... amongst other things.
She does not trust us. Nice things do not end well.
With a little letter from Brock, I believe it was.
Signed. Brock.
And then inside the presidential suite, there was a list of names, wasn't there?
Mm.
And the party decided to, I believe you swung by the ordinateurs after a night chatting with gargoyles from Sasha's end.
And the most momentous thing happened, which is Hamid has a date.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, you say that's the most mentalist thing. I did skip time and have my memory altered. But let's focus on the date.
Like any good TV show, everyone's always more interested in the romantic subplots than the actual massive events.
World's ending, but...
Will they? Won't they?
Oh my God.
I mean, in the long term, they won't, because the world's ending. In the meantime...
So, we will pick up outside L'Arc d'Ordinateur, and have just realised that Sasha's clearly had her memory messed with in some way. Go.
Yeah, well, he was a nice chap, and then I was here, I think. It all went very well. I knocked on the door, I think. Or I tried to break the door? Did I try to knock? No, I must have tried to knock. He was a very nice guy.
There's definitely a spell on your mind, Sasha. I'm a bit worried. Maybe this man has some is a mage of some power. I mean, if he can alter memories, that's quite advanced.
Why? Like, what did you?
It's very strange.
We just had a nice conversation. There was nothing secret or weird.
Well, that's the thing, because obviously there's something was it, because otherwise he wouldn't have bothered to what the memory, because we still know that Sasha got up there and had a meeting, so it was the contents of the meeting, not the meeting itself, which is the problem. Is there a way to undo that?
Don't be messing around inside my head.
Well, it's already been done. So.
No, yeah, but like maybe that guy was an expert. You guys don't even know what he is.
An expert. Not, I'm not saying like Hammond just start poking around in your ear.
Don't worry about it, young lady. Just focus. Just look at, watch my finger.
No. No one's getting in my head.
Before you interrupt, I was about to say, no, I can't do that. Yeah. So I won't be.
Maybe you could watch my finger instead.
If you like.
Good.
What's this going to achieve?
I don't know. It's very soothing, though, isn't it?
I've just found out a glimpse into Bertie's private life. She's just sitting in a quiet room, just looking at his finger.
I'm very at peace. Yeah. That didn't go as anyone thought it would, so...
No, I don't really know what to do next. Should we at least go back to the hotel so we can talk about
it properly?
It's
pretty easy to sneak in, though. Like, I could go in again, it'd be fine.
Yeah, but you might get a bit annoyed and do something worse.
Probably don't want to confront him until we've worked out what we can do about, you know, mind magics.
Yeah.
There is about 5-6 hours left before Hamid's date. So you've got a good solid afternoon ahead of you before you need to...
But he has a magic item that means he's ready basically instantly.
I'm always ready.
So this might be a quick jog of memory. There was the other chap that we asked about who isn't working here anymore. And did we get a lead on him?
No, but we know that someone else was asking about him, which was the reporter Amelie Rose, yes, whose name was also on our list.
Right, so we should probably...
And we have some contact details for Amelie Rose, because I got those. I say all that again in character.
Skipping ahead, yeah. you all know that you have the address of a Ms. Amelie Rose.
My French accent is terrible.
Who was apparently an investigative reporter, according to the list that you have, who was in the Arc de l'Ordinateur asking after Dr. Jean-Luc Beaulieu, who was the ordinatist who is now not there.
He left about 6 months ago.
Yeah, he left 6 months ago.
I made notes. I've got all this written down.
Look, see, this is very hard.
I had a memory spell, so I was perfectly
more
character.
Authentic.
Yeah,
to a,
totally.
Yeah, fair.
So, shall we presume that you are heading after Amelie Rose?
Yeah.
Okay, the contact details that you have are for a newspaper, Le Gazette Courant. Well, Grand, I can't pronounce it.
The big Gazette.
Hey, what
the
can
massive
I say?
Gazette.
It's a double pay, like, broadsheet. It is a broadsheet.
One broadsheet.
It's
an extremely broadsheet.
It's like 5 foot by 10.
Yep.
But the big stories, big news, big time.
It's like the Buster Keaton sketch where he just keeps opening it and opening it.
So it is an address in a significantly seedier part of town.
Oh.
Presumably you head off.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll sort of montage the journey a bit. You start in obviously grand sweeping terraces, big blazing neon, cosmopolitan, lots of mechanical men and the occasional gyropter flying past in the air. But obviously you start heading down narrower and narrower streets, and what was actually paved, you know, perfect flush paving, very well done, turns into cobbles that have barely been there a long time.
So with the way that Paris has been laid out, are we heading into the suburbs or are we heading towards the Eiffel Folly?
Yeah, heading out from the centre. You're right in that you are actually sort of you are heading closer to Eiffel's Folly than you would otherwise have been.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very clear that you are heading out from the centre, like central paradise area. It's a little bit shunted from real Paris in the sense of like there are parts around the Eiffel Tower that are quite nice, whereas here it's very much sort of shunted a little bit away from there. So you are heading closer to Eiffel's Folly, drawing nearer actually. It becomes readily apparent even to everyone's eyes who aren't like looking for it that it's a big eyesore, and it's clearly properly a shanty town. It's cardboard, corrugated iron. People have been clearly doing that for a long time. There is a police presence around the outside. It's basically, they're quite happy to let people go in, but they're giving a lot of trouble to anyone who's trying to, you know, get out. It's sort of a nominal presence, really.
Sounds healthy and sustainable.
Definitely. Yeah. There are no problems here.
Is there just a sign by the door saying days since last riot with this on it?
Yes.
A guy with a cast, his arm in a cast, goes up, lifts off a 4,
yeah,
and puts on a 1. So disappearing down more alleys and so on. The buildings, again, they're old style. They're actually quite well designed. Like, they're good architecture, but very poor maintenance. and eventually you find yourself outside of a particularly seedy building. One of the doors is hanging off, and it has an incredibly
really, really big.
Is it just scrawling the window in poo?
A blowing past to the street. Enormous sheets of paper.
It's actually a serious problem. This newspaper is a public menace.
People are trying to fight them off as they blow down the street.
There is a large filigreed sign in an arch over the door. It's a bit incongruous given how seedy everything is. That it's like, you know, the old style post offices, how they had the big grand kind of facade. It's like that, but in awful condition.
Neither rain nor snow nor sleep.
Nor massive, massive.
Massive and terrifying paper.
Ah, the paper storms of 1850. I remember it well.
So it's, yeah, look, as like Grand, you're in the right place, and there's no one at the front door. It's not a particularly high up institution, clearly.
I suppose.
All right, this looks perfectly lovely.
Should we knock?
This is how all newspapers look, I'm sure.
Bertie strides up to the door and knocks heavily with his fist.
The one remaining door. And just falls inwards. Cloud of dust. Your hand appears to have punched through where it knocked quite lightly what's clearly a massive termite problem on top of everything else.
I do hope they don't put too much stock in first impressions.
Do you think it's shut down? I mean, they did say that the arc that Emily Rose had been by a couple of months ago looking for Jean-Luc Boulier.
Well,
Hammond pronounced it flawlessly.
Oh, of course.
Editor's note.
He speaks perfect French.
Well, we're here, so we might as well have a look.
This looks like rather more than a couple of months' worth of neglect, I must say.
Is the floor dusty?
Is there signs of recent passage?
He's just asking for perception. That's
yeah,
it.
Right. Yeah.
There is signs of it being frequently disturbed. It looks like it's still in use. There's bits of detritus have blown in. Just terrible condition.
You might notice that, but I stride in.
Give me a stealth check, Sasha. If you're just powering through and ignoring everyone else, go for it.
I was going to say, we could just be having a...
Ooh, 20.
So we're
definitely... I don't
definitely...
even disturb the dust.
Yeah. we definitely have that conversation, and then... What do you think, Sash?
I'm hidden behind a dust mote, floating up the stairs.
So, creeping inside.
The other dust motes are freaked out by how quiet it's got.
It looks like a ball bearing covered in oil.
Heading into the main foyer, you see, like a lot of this sort of terrace...
Floating
flawlessly and not disturbing any dust somehow, despite having no magical prowess whatsoever.
Stepping...
This is a spell, level one. Heading into the foyer, like a lot of the terrace buildings from that area, it's actually deceptively large once you're inside. There's a lot of depth to it. There's a staircase heading straight up, there's a corridor to the left-hand side of that staircase running into shadow, and there are actually a couple of doors to the left and right. Turns out it sort of expands slightly into the properties on either side.
All
the doors are closed. The footprints there is a clear track in the sort of dust and the dirt, mm-hmm. leading straight up the stairs from the front door.
I go up the stairs.
Sure.
Should we give her a minute? Should we follow her in?
No, it's what she does best, I guess. Just let her scout.
But if she wants to explore the upper floors, I dare say we can have a look around downstairs.
Or we could do a circuit of the building. See if there's any...
I don't know.
Cut back to Sasha.
you're the boss.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not used to exploring newspaper offices.
Cutting back to Sasha. So, heading up the stairs.
Yep.
You're at a landing. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of doors that are open. It appears there's been a decent amount of traffic. It's probably just one person or two. Mm-hmm. But on this landing, there are a couple of doors open, and off to the corridor on the right-hand side, at the end of a corridor, there is a door that's closed. There is a sort of scratching coming from there.
I sneak up to it. And then I listen to the door.
Perception check for the door.
Is it a draw? 17 plus... Oh, what's my perception? 8. Yes.
It's a strong start to the game.
Definitely a draw!
Yeah.
Made of wood, bit of glass. Oh.
It sounds like oak, but it could be a different hot note.
Yeah.
So, listen.
Younger oak. From the north.
You hear the distinct sounds of what sounds like a pen or quill or some kind of writing implement on parchment, sort of behind it away. And then grumbling in French. French, which, unlike the French you keep getting exposed to, where it's all posh and that, it's actually something that you can make out. And it's just filthy. It's just swearing.
I knock on the door. I'm just going to knock.
What?
Huh? Hello, mate. But in French.
Yeah, of course.
How you doing, love, ducky? What's up? I don't know.
It goes very, very. It goes very, very quiet.
Are you like Emily Rose and stuff in it?
It's clear there is someone trying and failing to be quiet. There's the sound of someone sort of being really, really silent, followed by knocking stuff. And
you
want to
pick up your pen, mate? You lost it approximately 3 centimetres from the ground.
Everyone apart from Sasha, give me a perception check.
10 minus 1 is 9.
7.
21.
21. Hamid, you see one floor up what looks like an extremely portly old man appears to have been really carefully lifting up the window and really carefully trying to climb out, doing a terrible job. He kind of stumbles, then falls with a clatter onto the fire escape outside, a steel fire escape.
I will shout as loud as I can, Sasha, he's trying to climb out the window.
We'll just say you can hear it. There's not much noise at this end.
Open the door and go in.
You see a pair of feet poking up outside the window because he's on his back in the fire escape. You recognise the patched and frayed soles of someone who's a bit down on their luck. Anyone who speaks French hears the most vile swear word imaginable. And then...
I don't speak French, but I think I can... That was said in a way.
He gets to his feet.
I don't think there's any call for that.
Looks in the window, sees Sasha, looks down, and then proceeds to start climbing up the fire escape to try and get to the roof.
Follow him. All right, mate, we don't mean you any harm.
I am going to get initiative rolls from everyone. In fact, I'll tell you what, while we're chasing up all of the battle map and getting everything prepped, we'll take a break and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Da-da-da.
And welcome back. So, an elderly fat man, I won't get more specific than that, has darted with surprising speed up the fire escape, and the last thing that you saw is him hopping over onto the rooftop. Okay? There is a battle map drawn. I will describe it in detail as it comes up. First up is... Bertie, you're up.
Okay, so Bertie at the bottom of the fire escape with Hamid and Zulf and Brutal in the papoose. I think the first thing that Bertie will do is pick up Hamid and toss him up so he's on the first bit of the fire escape, so the ladder has not yet come down. So he's going to do that first and then attempt to pull down the ladder.
Okay, Hamid, are you going to attempt to resist that in any way?
No, it was my idea.
In which case, give me a strength check.
Well, you're going to do it. I wasn't serious.
3 plus 3 is 6.
So you are perfectly strong enough to do so. You're perfectly strong enough to do so, but you sort of misjudge it a little bit. Hamid, still, give me a reflex save.
13.
13. Hamid still manages just by fingertips to get his hands on the bottom rung of the ladder, which immediately pulls down quite quickly, jarring you to the point where you end up letting go and falling back on the ground.
But the ladder's now down.
The ladder is down and about to start pulling back up because of the counterweight. We will say that was a full action for you to do such an action. Hamid, you're up, you're prone, and the ladder is receding back up above you.
None of my spells are helpful in this situation. Stupid spells.
I can't set fire to anything, or maybe a little bit of acid on the mechanism.
Can I still see the guy?
No, he's disappeared over the rooftop.
I was saying, given the vagaries of initiative and it's all kind of happening at the same time, if you want to slightly defer your action as a hesitation, I will do something that will solve the ladder problem.
Hamid feels like he can't do anything, so holds his action.
Again, it's been a while for listeners, A, since we've done combat, and B, certainly since this scenario's come up. So just to reiterate...
The last rooftop chase. We did have one, actually.
Yeah, we have.
The guy that could jump so well.
There's a fond memory flits across your memory, kind of distracting you a little bit and pushing you down the initiative order. So holding an action is where a character has decided I may be able to do something this round, but certainly not quite this turn. So what I'm going to do is hold an action, i.e. you sort of step out of the initiative order and get to reinsert yourself in a different turn. Readying an action is the one where you sort of, it's like a trap trigger in Magic, if people play that kind of thing, whereby a certain set of conditions will activate your turn. Holding an action, that doesn't happen. So effectively you're saying pass for now. Okay. In which case, Zolf, you're up.
Cool. Hop over to the ladder.
5 foot step.
And plonk my trident into it to stop it.
That's fine.
So I've got reach. Yay. Mm-hmm. And then just heft it back down.
That's fine. I'll say that's a full turn to save ease.
Yep.
Sasha, you are currently inside the office as far as I'm aware, but right. Sort of I'll place you by the window ready to hop out if you want.
Okay. I, being aware that people can drop things on you, I have a stick, my hand out. See if anything drops on me.
A bottle immediately shatters onto the fire escape.
He did a lot for the listeners at home. He did not make me aware of that before. I am just
really, really happy with you.
Yeah. Well,
really happy with you.
I thought, do I have a hat to stick out? The But I don't. I don't. I just waggle a hand. When I, on my way up, did I see any other stairs going further up than this? Were there?
Yes, you did, actually.
Okay, I will go dash back in and dash up those stairs.
Okay, we will, for the sake of speed, I will say that you are midway up the other set of interior stairs.
Mm-hmm. Did we see the dude lean over the parapet to drop that?
Hamid, from the flat of your back, give me a perception check.
14.
You see a worried-looking man poking his head out just briefly and dropping the bottle. It was definitely that man who dropped a bottle. A few little shards of glass patter around you. I'm going to throw you a bone for once and not make you roll damage for falling glass, but I should. I should. Okay.
You there, stop littering!
Bertie, you're up.
So the fire's
well, I know I didn't get my action because I held it.
If you want to insert, you have to say I want to insert. I'll allow you to insert now.
If you're going to follow the rules. I saw the dude. I cast sleep.
What's the will save?
15.
17.
He pokes his head, like I said. You attempt to cast sleep from the flat of your back. It's all very impressive, despite the fact that you're on your back. But nonetheless, he poked back. I don't think he even noticed that you were attempting anything over that kind of distance. Bertie, you're up.
So the fire escape's now down. Bertie's now going to power up the fire escape.
Go for it. I will say that we can get you to the rooftop in, we'll say, 2 rounds, because you have to climb the ladder and then sort of jog up.
Yeah,
there's a fire escape we have to do a will save.
Oh, God, he's so right wing. Get off me. Get off me.
If that's what passes for the wit of the staircase.
Oh, you're very clever.
Thank you.
Zolf, you're up.
Good. Where's the nearest gap in this terrace of buildings?
Would you mind holding the ladder long enough for me to start climbing it?
That's actually a really good point. If people are still waiting to get up the ladder,
there is an extremely narrow squeezing space sort of between two buildings to the left of the building that you're currently facing. However, it is a squeeze, and I mean that in the mechanical sense.
Yep.
It's not an alleyway.
Fine. In which case, I will hold my action,
okay,
so not do anything, which just remains me holding the ladder, mm-hmm, and I will wait till after Hamid.
Okay. Sasha, you are currently halfway up the interior staircase, mm-hmm, and just up the top of the staircase is a closed door. You are moving currently at speed, running up.
Is there a window?
There is a window to the right-hand side of that doorway.
Okay, I want to hop out the window.
It is closed currently.
Oh, can I try and open it?
You could dive through like a pro.
But I'm not going to dive through. There's nothing on the other side.
But you look really cool just before you die.
You're not Batman yet. Yeah. One day.
And it's just like, rather than Batman who'd sort of dive through and then swing around and climb up, she's sort of like...
Oh, pick this through.
Just have a look.
Yep,
that's fine.
Ooh, cricked my back. Out I go.
We'll say...
I don't know why she's become a northern man.
We'll say your move action gets you to the window. Mm-hmm. And we'll say your standard action is opening the window. Give me a perception check. I'm being very generous on turn order today.
12.
It is not over the side of a fire escape. I will point it out on the map. For listeners, it's sort of at the back of the building.
Is it all filigreed and whatever? In such
there are plenty of handholds, but you will be climbing next time.
Cool.
Okay, Hamid, you're up.
I climb up Zolf and then up the ladder.
Give me a climb check.
Yep.
Because Zolf isn't an easy person to climb.
The thing is this ladder is clearly built for humans, and I'm not human
size. Oh, yeah, this is genuinely actually going to be problematic.
16.
There's a bit of a moment where your foot's in his face, and hang on.
Excuse me, sorry.
Get on with it.
You managed to make it over Zolf and up to the ladder. You still have a move action as well.
I will go up the ladder.
Okay, yeah, you've made it up the ladder, and you are now running up, and you are effectively directly behind Bertie at this point.
Cool.
And speaking Zolf. Of which, Zolf, right, you are inserting. Yeah.
So much changing of initiative. I will now full run to go through that speed.
To move the same amount of squares that a normal person does.
Yeah, full run is 4 times move speed.
Yeah, but you can't full run.
It's denied to you because of
the best you guess. Do is double move.
Okay, well, I'll double move. So that's I've actually
we've encountered this problem before.
Yeah, we have. 1, 2, 3, 4.
So let me work this out. In 1, 2, 3, 4. It'll take you another turn to get to face the squeeze.
Yep.
Then, bearing in mind that because it's a squeeze, it'll be taking twice as long to get through.
Well, come on, Alex, I'll move diagonally to get through, at least.
Okay, so we'll say that you're keeping up.
I'm going to have some very quick turns.
Okay. Bertie, your head is poking over the top. Give me a perception check to see the situation.
6 minus 1 is 5.
I'm on a roof!
Yeah!
Nice roof!
Ooh, that sky, that cloud looks like a rabbit!
Chase it!
Oh, I can't go into the sky. I'm a man.
There are a load of rooftops.
Yeah.
There is, on this rooftop, what looks like an exit for a stairwell over to the left, and an elderly man who is currently just climbing down.
Oh man, I should have checked that door.
The
was
far
open.
Side of the building. You just see his head going, and then he pokes his head behind the far side.
As in over the far lip of the roof.
The far lip, as in if you were to run across the lip, run across the roof and leap, you may get ahead of him, possibly.
Yeah, okay, so Bertie's going to run over to the edge. He's not going to just dive off a roof.
Sure. You can see that there appears to be some kind of corrugated roofing or something between the building that you're on and the next building, which is presumably what the old man is lowering himself onto.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Sasha.
Yep, I'm peeping out the window, and if I'm looking across there, I am on the back of the building, which the old man is also climbing down the back of the building to get to this corrugated thing. Can I peep out, wave, and try and climb across?
You see an old man dropping down, not climbing, dropping down onto the corrugated roof, which gives a very concerning wobble.
Is the corrugated roof the same level that I'm at?
It is one level above you. And one level below where Bertie is. So you're on the second floor, Bertie's on the fourth.
Can Sasha see me?
If you're over the roof. No, so I will want to climb diagonally up to where he is.
Okay, give me a climb check.
Assassin's Creed it.
Yeah!
Yep.
13. Plus 5.
There are multiple handholds.
Yep.
You manage to climb across to the bit that's corrugated roofing over. So what it looks like is there were actually two separate buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like someone's done a poor job of knocking through the wall of one and knocking through the back wall of the first building, the Gazegrond, and had a temporary sort of walkway, wooden, with corrugated roofing set up. Presumably it's laziness and cowboy builders. Where would you like to place yourself? Bearing in mind that you're currently clinging to a wall and he's stood.
Yep.
So if you're worried about bottles, he could just heft them at you no matter where you are on the wall.
True, but I just want to climb sort of almost directly up so that I'm level with him.
Okay,
so you're like, mate, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. We're trying to find a friend that's hurt.
English or French?
In French.
I'd assume so. He turns, looks at you, gives a, ah! And then obviously we're sort of in initiative order, but it looks very clear like the first thing that he's going to do is dash across to the far side. It's now his turn.
Yeah.
How convenient. He does so. Heads across. Climbs up onto here.
So he's now on the fourth floor. That roof is level with the roof that Bertie is on.
Yes.
Okay.
If you wanted to leap across without going via the corrugated, you could do so.
Yeah.
But you would be doing checks and it's a fourth floor fall.
But if I do it over the iron corrugated bit, that's only one floor down.
Exactly.
Very heavy and it's very badly built.
Also, what you'll notice is both of you notice that the second that he hops over, he also ducks down beneath the ledge. Okay. Hamid.
I follow Bertie, get up onto the roof, and move my movement of 1, 2, 3, 4.
Aww.
To stand next to him.
Next to you, like, aww.
I am no faster than he is. I am not wearing anything heavy, but I have very little legs.
Oh. Zolf, you're up.
Right.
Oh, you're at the squeeze like a pro.
I'm at the squeeze.
It looks full of rubbish. Broken bottles, bins and things like that.
I'm in chainmail and have been swimming in sewers.
You're not in chainmail.
What? That's fine. I need to take away all these blooming... Yeah, I've rubbed it out.
See?
Cool.
Past Ben is wise and cruel.
Yeah. Screw you past me. Fine. I'm not in shape. I'm scared. I'm not in any kind of mail. I'm in clothed mail.
Yep.
I'm dressed in a mailman costume.
So.
You're in a man costume. That must not fit very well.
Bertie,
no, it's got like a head.
You're
top.
Up.
Right.
Okay. So Bertie presumably has seen the old man dip below the ledge on the other side because it's all at that height. Bertie is going to move to the edge and is going to unleash Brutor from the papoose. Throw him over the 10-foot gap between the buildings.
Okay.
Bearing Brutor, fly, then kill.
We'll say that it takes, I am going to say it takes a standard action to get a dog who is smart enough to realise that this, whatever's happening, I don't like, is going to be pulled out from your insane papoose. I cannot believe is canonical. But nonetheless, by next round, you can be heffing him into initiative order, as it were.
What costume is he in?
Oh, that is a very important question.
He's got an
Angel of Death.
He's got a full Altair. He's got a cowl.
He's got a little fedora with a little matchbook in it with press written on it.
That's adorable.
Isn't it?
I'm going to allow that.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to say that you preemptively had something made.
Going to the newspaper office. Obviously, we're doing that.
Yeah.
Bought a little hat on the way over.
Yep. Got a little Eiffel Tower on it as well.
you got a little bit of souvenir tag and put press on it. Sasha, you're up.
I climb onto the lower roof thing, run along, and I'm going to try and climb up. Less worried about stamping on my hands now. I am going to get this guy, gosh darn it.
I will take a climb check to get you onto the roof.
Mm-hmm.
24. And
so on this roof. So I've climbed up onto the corrugated roof and I want to climb onto the next bit.
What I'll do is I'll fudge it a little bit, give me another climb check, and we'll say you just take a sort of wall run up.
I climb, climb so hard. Ooh, 2. So 7.
You do not succeed. In order to shave time, you know, you're running, and you basically wall run up, grab onto a piece of cornicing, which just breaks in your hand. It's clearly very old. You fall back and
onto
the corrugated roof, which creaks ominously, and you hear a couple of bits potentially breaking. You're not sure, you can't see. Everything's still level, but it gave a very worrying shake.
Does Bertie hear and see that?
You see all of that play out.
Right.
Sasha.
Because you can see chunks of the beneath structure falling away a few floors.
Right. And that's the roof that's creaking of that bit.
That's the entire walkway that she landed on the roof of.
Sasha sort of repositioned herself for it, slightly like a cat that you didn't see do that.
Nicks her forearm.
Didn't see it fall over there. This is exactly where she wanted to be. I'm just looking up, getting a better view of that. My fur is fine. What are you looking at? I didn't fall off that. There is no food on my nose.
You are having to do all of that from prone, though, because you fell on your back.
No! I just wanted to lie down here.
I'm a bit sleepy, actually.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, the old gentleman pokes his head above the parapet and is hefting something heavy. It looks like a sack or something. He's really struggling under the weight. He looks down, sees you on the back, and then says in French, "I'm sorry," and then tips it over the side.
Oh, he going down.
The sack, you don't know what it's full of, slams through the corrugated
roof. On me.
Not on you, it slams next to you, but it just plows through it. It punches straight through it. Give me a reflex save.
Only 13.
13.
Sasha's getting damaged again.
So, the corrugated roof, the sack punches through. The corrugation just breaks completely under you. The whole lot falls away. Bertie, you see Sasha going from trying to sort of make it look like it's okay to just shock as the whole thing just disappears under her. Before you can even make a reflex save to try and reach out and grab onto the wall, you are just dropping the distance.
Oh dear, that's fall damage is pretty
severe. It's not from a third floor, it's not going to be too bad.
Okay.
It's going to be,
I know most systems is like fall damage.
3d6.
You are.
Oh really?
I am rolling it.
That's all right.
Okay. Are you ready? How many hit points have you got total?
26.
26?
You'll survive.
6 yep. plus 2 plus 6.
Oh, brutal.
14.
You drop and
I am sore.
Bertie, you see Sasha plummet. In fact, with the dust that's thrown up in the corrugated, you just don't even see where she lands.
Mm.
But you do hear the crunch as loads of masonry and pieces of timber and other things fall, which will be dealing you another 1d6 in detritus damage. 5.
Brutal. These dice do not. I got 20 for sneaking through an empty building.
I love that we go from, like, a couple of weeks ago, we're all, including me, rolling ones, and then this time we're all rolling really high.
Yeah.
And either way, you guys suffer.
Yeah.
But yeah, you disappear down. I will deal specifically with you and like how it plays out when we get around to your turn. For now,
just say ow.
Hamid, you didn't see this play out because you're too far back. You just saw him heft a sack over it. probably and then heard a very big crunch.
A Wilhelm scream.
Yeah. Sasha, do you scream?
No.
I did not think so.
5 foot step?
Mm-hmm.
To the edge of the roof so that I can see what's happening.
You see the old man whose face is aghast. He's leaning over. He's not even paying attention to you two at what's just played out.
I say, Sasha, no! How could you? And cast magic missile at the dude's face.
I was waiting for you to do resolve. Take her, not me. Take me. Oh, wait. Bertie shouts.
Yeah, take her. Take her, it's fine.
Take her, not the dog.
And because I'm now level 3, magic missile is twice as powerful as it used to be.
Yeah,
no longer is there a single projectile. Now there are two. I do 5 damage.
Having rolled
a 1 and a 2 on your
d4s.
Yeah. So.
Stupid d4s. Everyone hates them.
Given that most of him is not really paying attention, we'll say it cracks into his head. He sees you then. He looks even more aghast and terrified.
I guess he wasn't thinking about being hit by magic.
Zolf.
Does the alleyway reduce my movement speed?
By half.
Wonderful. I'll move 10 feet.
That was the most sarcastic putting of a miniature on a table I've heard in quite a long time.
Look, we're all mocking you. The fact that you're going to be coming round.
You'll
someone...
be getting there first.
You're certainly going to be getting
Why
to Sasha.
Why are we mocking
first?
Him? Yeah. It's a strong character choice.
Yes.
I'm not. Not really. Bertie, we will say if you still want to throw. Brutor is out of the papoose. You can either drop him to the rooftop as a free action, drop him over the side of the building as a free action.
Why would I do that?
I don't know. You're crazy. Or throw him as your standard action.
This thing. So looking around the edge of the building, it's quite a long way for Bertie to run on foot. There's no way that he can get over this 10-foot gap wearing his big heavy armour. He's not going to take his armour off, do a running jump, then put it back on and then fight the guy. So he's going to throw Brutor and then he's going to start running around the long way around.
Give me the strength check to get Brutor across.
This might be the end of the podcast.
4.
Oh, this might be the end of the podcast.
Plus 3 is 7.
That's it. We're
Does
done.
Does the dog make it?
I like this. So
no,
lands on Sasha, kills her, but the dog's okay. Yeah.
So just to spell this out for listeners and for the party, Brutor doesn't have a lot of hit points.
No.
The chances of Brutor surviving a fall from this height are very, very slim. This is a reflex save because Brutor gets them. You better hope he rolls well.
Come on, Brutor.
That's an 8.
No.
You didn't give Alex any room to fluff there, did you, Ben? You had to say it so the listeners know.
Yeah, what we've done. This is what we've...
Bertie, in the heat of the moment, throws Brutor over the side. There's a... He falls short of the rooftop, fails to scrape onto something, and you see him disappear into the cloud of dust currently filling the alleyway at the bottom, which Sasha set up. Sasha. Oh, you still have a move action. I'm sorry. You just saw... You just potentially flung Brutor to his death. What do you do?
I think for Bertie's move action, his jaw just drops 2 inches. That's what happens.
That's fine. Sasha.
Do you scream?
A silent scream. Bertie's just killed the member of the party that he cares about most.
Yes. Cares about full stop.
Yes. He cares about Hamid. Sasha very slightly.
Yeah.
And that
doesn't actively despise Sasha.
Yeah.
Okay. Now.
Is there a reason
Sasha,
to say
your turn.
To try and catch the dog?
I
Yes! You should try and catch
You should totally do that.
I need to try and catch
Reflex
the dog.
Save to try and catch Brutor.
I will require you to have a perception check to see that there is a dog hurtling towards you at speed.
Through a big cloud of dust.
Oh no!
You do not do
12!
So.
12 total! Do
now,
I see the giant dog?
Let's find out. Don't mind me while I roll 4d6s.
I wonder what those could be for. Could be for anything.
Happiness dice.
I'm doing this on the sly, by the way. I swear to everyone I will not lie. If the dog dies, the dog dies. But I do not
want
the party
know
to know
whether the dog is dead or not.
Okay.
Does the dog land on me, on Sasha?
You, on your turn.
The additional
here.
Damage.
Boom! The sound of bone snapping crunch. There is the sound of timber. You hear... And we'll end the episode there.
Oh, no! No! You know that people say they stop listening. listening when they're worried about the dog, Alex. We've had people contact us and say that the episode where we weren't sure if Brutal was going to be all right, that they nearly didn't listen again. It was only when they saw us tweeting about him being happy in little outfits that they started again.
This
you know this.
This is on James Bertie yep. Dog Chucker Ross.
He landed in a farm somewhere.
Sure, we'll come back next week and we'll find out whether everyone's alright.
For the remaining 15% of our audience.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Forever.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill, or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, Bertie's he's come out and he's told everybody his big secret, and you're not being anywhere near as sympathetic as you should be.
That's because he's a monster.
He is a monster.
He's like, wait a minute.
I'm an arsehole in chains.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're still an arsehole.
That's, like that's his concept album.
Arsehole in chains.
It's a big eyesore, and it's clearly properly a shanty town. It's cardboard, corrugated iron. People have been clearly doing that for a long time. And there's a fenced perimeter around the outside of it, which has it's not particularly well maintained or anything.
Does cardboard exist?
Well, yes. You mean in game?
Cardboard?
Yeah. I'm just confused about the concept of cardboard right now.
When was cardboard invented?
Interrupting your regularly scheduled episode.
Questions from Bryn that James will answer.
You know, it must be a 20th century thing.
Yeah, that's what I kind of. I'm
going to go ahead and say permutations of cardboard were discovered on during industrialised magical experiments and don't require magic to be made, but was an interesting accelerated...
1817.
Oh. 1817?
The first cardboard box in England. Beautiful British product.
Every time you look at a cardboard box, you should be land
of the
memory. In a normal empty cardboard box, that's where, of course, we keep the compassion of the British Empire.
So here we are.
Facts from the internet.
We are disappearing down a rabbit hole of really, really potentially boring, but not quite boring.
The entire rest of this episode is just us discussing interesting things we learned from Wikipedia. We'll skip to the next one for more plot. Go right ahead.
Specifically about packing materials. In my defense, I'm really very ill. So,
so picking up, yes, there is cardboard.
It was Prin that asked the trippy question.
I'm contagious.
It's just swearing and really
so
vile
I understand
swearing.
It perfectly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is what a French
swear in
get.
French on this podcast,
no.
Like
no.
Jean-Luc Picard does.
No, there will be no swearing.
Or in Chinese, like they're doing Firefly.
Yeah.
No, there will be no swearing because we have listeners.
Can I swear in
there
Klingon?
Is only like one in China or something.
That is implausibly part of our listenership.
Actually,
we are a long-running D&D podcast, and anyone that has managed to make it to episode, 32?
37.
37 is
but anyone who's taken
likely...
the trouble.
I'll make you a deal, okay? Here's a deal. All listeners, if you're okay with us swearing in Klingon, let us know. If you're not okay with us swearing in Klingon, let us know. We'll tell you up and then we'll know.
And
if
you are, subscribe.
And if you are, please tell us some Klingon swear words. Because
Bryn
only Bryn.
I don't know any Klingon swear words.
Oh, right. Yeah, please give us some Klingon swear words.
Genuinely think less of you.
I know one Klingon word, which means hello, goodbye, and I want to fight as far as I can work out.
That's all you need.
Initiative rolls from everyone.
Yeah, Bertie's also chasing up the fire escape. We're all chasing up the fire escape, right?
I'm not.
You will have to jump up and pull down a ladder in order
I'm going to ask Bertie to toss me onto the fire escape.
Hey. Right.
Nobody tosses a dwarf, but everyone tosses the halfling.
Okay. Toss me, Bertie. Toss me.
Toss me like one of your French girls. Up the fire escape. I smell a spin-off.
Toss me like one of your French salads. Croutons. Crouton me.
I would like to register my objection to the existence of a fire escape. It's clearly anachronistic.
Hold up.
Of all the things that you have a problem with in anachronism, that's the one that you're...
Are we going late 19th century?
I mean, bearing in mind we didn't have a problem with, you know, a lightning elemental running the Eurostar.
Like, it really, it does depend on...
At the risk of opening a can of worms, I have actually considered this, and part of it is you haven't completely, you haven't artificially globalised society, thanks to all of the meritocrats.
Ha!
Where suddenly you've got, rather than countries... being isolated,
we've done it again!
Massively coordinated.
One of the first fire escapes of any type was invented in 18th century England.
I am so on this!
Every time you escape from a burning building, just think,
it was.